book of Philippians, between the books of Ephesians and Colossians. Philippians chapter 2 this morning. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 5 through 11 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Please stand to your feet this morning, if you would. As we read the Word of God together this morning, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, beginning at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Lord, I pray that you would just bless us today for being here. God, work in our hearts. Be real to us. Help us today. Now, Father, I understand for that to be accomplished, then, Father, you're going to have to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Please do that this morning. Father, if there's anyone in this room this morning that is not saved, that has never received the forgiveness of their sin through Christ, that today they would settle that. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
Now, as you're being seated this morning, we always begin the message by asking you to turn all your electronic devices to off or to vibrate. If your cell phone goes off during the service, you will be possessed by a legion of demons, and we will have to drive you out of here and chain you to the railing out in front of the church. So please help us with that, if you would. I also ask you not to get up and move around for the next few minutes. I want to talk to you on this. We've been preaching some messages on a simple three-letter word in the Bible, and the word is let. We've talked to you about let it go. Let the bitterness go, friend. Forgiveness is the way to do that. God's answer is right. We talked about let it be. We talked about the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Last week we talked to you about let's grow up. Let us go on unto perfection. And this morning I want you to look at Philippians 2 and verse 5. It's an amazing statement when you think about it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Could you imagine thinking like Jesus thinks? I was trying to figure it out. I was asking Brother Evans this morning just for a second about the IQ rating. What's the highest a person could attain in IQ? I thought it was in the low 300s. Maybe it's the high 200s. It doesn't make any difference. The point is this. Albert Einstein, according to IQ testing, is supposed to have the highest IQ of any human being who ever walked this planet. He's supposed to be Mr. Super Brilliant. Now, frankly, I never thought he was that smart. He came up with the quote, whatever it is, pi R squared. And anybody from the South knows pi are not squared. Pi are round. Cobbler are square. Now, so I don't know how smart this man really was, quite frankly. But he was a brilliant man with an incredible mind. But did you know that Albert Einstein could not leave his house without somebody with him at all times? He would walk down the street and forget where he lived, and where he was going. If you met Albert Einstein, he could not hold a conversation with you because he was one of these super genius types whose mind was always somewhere else. So he couldn't even hold a basic conversation. And when Israel formed as a nation, they asked him to be their first prime minister because they thought, we have a super intelligent man. But they made a very wise decision by not having Einstein become their first prime minister, because he could help you with mathematics and other things, but he could not hold a conversation. So here was a man who was a super genius who couldn't find his, if he left his house, he would get lost. He left his house one day and he was gone for hours and they just found him wandering. So here's a super genius. I'm not talking about that kind of mind. The Bible says, and it says, and the amazing thing about Philippians 2:5 is it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, to think that we could have the mind of Christ is amazing. But how in the world could you think like the Son of God? Do you notice it says in Philippians 2:5, it does not tell you how. It just says, let it happen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, the Bible's a practical book, so believe me, there is a way to do this. And the way to do it, and keep your Bibles open, is what the Bible says about Christ after verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. End of the verse number 5, would you notice that there is a colon there? In other words, open punctuation. The idea continues on to the next verse. And what it says in verses 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 and 11 are the things that went through the mind of Christ. It was his thought processes. And so you can let the mind of Christ be in you. Now, friend, look at me this morning. I hope you understand we brought you here today to brainwash you. I've had people say, boy, I think they're trying to brainwash me around here. Excellent, brilliant deduction. We are trying to brainwash you this morning. After a week of living in this world, we need that brain scrubbed real good, don't we? I'm not talking about making, you know, make you wear orange pajamas and go to the airport and sell books and play tambourines. I'm not talking about that kind of brainwashing. I'm talking about cleaning up our mind. Let's think right this morning, shall we? The only way to think right is to have the mind of Christ. He's the only one who ever had a perfect mind. Jesus never thought a wrong thought. Jesus never allowed anything in his mind that was impure. The Bible said he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So the mind of Christ is a perfect mind. Well, I'll never have a perfect mind, Pastor Johnson. Not with that ambition, no question. But don't you think, ladies and gentlemen, we need to start thinking right? Because you see, look at me. If you think right, you'll live right. Everybody's trying to change their lifestyle and change the habits of their life without changing the way they think. If you can change the way you think, you'll change the way you live. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that's why salvation starts on the inside. God changes you on the inside. And then the Bible begins to program our mind to help us to think the way that we need to think. Because if God can change the way you think, friend, God can change the way you live, and you will change. Your life will change. But we got to think right. We are inundated constantly in our lives by media, by print media, and by visual media, and by the life in which we live. We are constantly inundated with the devil's program to teach us how to think. Constantly. Always trying to tell you to think the way the world wants you to think. All right, you go to the grocery store this morning after you're done with church. Go buy a loaf of bread and stand in line at the grocery store. What do they have? Them stupid magazines about I was married to Elvis's Nazi alien baby, you know, them stupid things. And they're always trying to show you that this is the way you should be thinking, and this is the way your life should be, and this is how it's supposed to be. They try to teach you that if you use this toothpaste, your life will be wonderful. You use this mouthwash and people will flock to you. They'll just be glad you don't have bad breath, I suppose. I don't know what it is. But the world is constantly hammering away at us to teach us their value system and their system of thinking and their way of living, and constantly it's hammering away at your mind. That's why if you sit in front of that television set hour in and hour out, you're letting Hollywood and the entertainment industry teach you how to think. My generation and the generations younger than myself are a TV generation. That's why we have a lot of people today, my generation and younger, who cannot think. They do not have reasoning capabilities because they've sat in front of the television set and every 30 seconds that thing is some way or another teaching you how to think and what to do. And we've got young people today who have no mind. They can't think for anything. Ask them some questions and you'll find out. What do you want to do when you're like, Now look, what we need to do is think right. Yeah, think the way you think, Pastor Johnson. No, how about think the way Jesus thinks? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now here's the amazing thing about it is, you can just let it be that way if you so desire. Now friend, look at me this morning. You either let the world program you and to think the way the world says you should think, or you can let God and His Word and, more importantly, the Son of God help you to think the way you ought to think. And that's why it says let it be. Let it happen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now let's go quickly. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 6. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 5. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What was the mind of Christ? Number one, Jesus knew who He was. Jesus knew who He was. Do you notice what it says in that verse number 6, Philippians 2? Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You see, there are people who believe that Jesus was declared to be God the Son and deity by those who knew Him, but He never claimed it Himself. Philippians 2 said He didn't think it was robbery. He didn't think He was taking something that wasn't His. That's robbery. It's also called politics. Taking something that wasn't His by declaring Himself to be equal with God. Do you know why? Because Jesus was God and He knew He was God. He declared Himself to be God. In John chapter 8, He declared Himself to be the I Am when He was talking to Jews. He knew what that would tell them. He knew that would tell them He was declaring Himself to be Jehovah. Jesus was Jehovah and He knew it. And He declared Himself to be God. Jesus Christ was God in human flesh. And He knew that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Can I ask you a question? Do you know who you are? Now, I'm not talking about do you know what your name is. I'm not talking about do you know what your nationality is or your heritage or your lineage. Do you know who you are in the sight of God this morning? Do you know that you are a child of God? And are you that certain of it? Now, quickly, turn to 1 John chapter 5. Hold your place in Philippians 2. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. Let me help you with something very quickly here. You need to know that you are a child of God. But you need to know it based on what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 5, turn there very quickly, please. You can't think like Jesus thinks until you know who you are in the sight of God. Well, I know who I am and I don't care what God thinks. Then, my friend, you are what is called a self-made man or a self-made woman. What a sad little package. I said sad little package. Made by man or made by God. I'll take God's creation over man's in a moment. The truth of the matter is, if you're self-made, friend, there's not much to you. You're only able to make yourself what you can become. But if you're made by God, then you're made something by the Almighty Creator of heaven. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We need to know who we are, and we need to know this based on, look at 1 John 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God, 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave His Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you know how you know for certain who you are in the sight of God? And you can know for sure that you're a child of God. We know that we're a child of God because the Word of God tells us so. It says in verse number 10, look at it again. It tells us there, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, because, end of the verse, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. The only way you're going to know that you're a child of God for certain is, did you do what the Bible says you must do to be saved? Not what the church told you to do, not what you think's best. Did you do what the Word of God says you must do to be saved? And here's what the Bible says you must do to be saved. Believe on the name of the Son of God. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's how you can know for sure. And then, by the way, the Bible says you'll have the witness in yourself. The witness is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 16, it says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Did you know the Holy Spirit is a real person? And that when you trust Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you? And if you trusted Christ based on what the Bible said, the Spirit of God lives inside of you, and He, the Spirit of God, witnesses with your spirit that you are a child of God. That's an unmistakable event and person that lives inside of you. The event is your salvation. The person is the Holy Spirit. Do you know that you know that you're a child of God? Do you know you're a child of God? No question in your mind. No shadow of a doubt whatsoever. If you do, it's because you trust the record of God's Son that the Bible gave us, that told us Jesus Christ, virgin born, sinless life, died upon the cross, rose from the grave bodily, ascended back to heaven, made the full payment for our sin, and we trusted the record God gave us of His Son, that that is salvation. This, the Bible says, is God's Word. We know that we're saved if, verse 11, if we are trusting Christ and not ourselves. Look at the verse, 1 John 5:11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Can I ask you a question this morning? Is your salvation that you have trusted Christ alone to save you, or would you have to add something to that? Well, I'm saved, Pastor Johnson, because I believe in Jesus Christ and I got baptized. It's always interesting to me when I ask a person their testimony of their salvation. And I say, tell me, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Tell me how it is you know. And they don't talk just about trusting Christ. They talk about trusting Christ, going to church, being baptized, believing this, doing that. And they start putting works to their salvation. Friend, that's not salvation. That verse right there, verse 11, says that this life is in His Son. Not in His church, in His Son. Not in baptism, in His Son. Not in works, but in His Son. Not in you, but in His Son. And you are not saved if you're not just trusting Christ for salvation. That's the only way you'll ever know. Because see, if there's something you have to do to be saved, you never know if you've done enough. Did I do good enough? Or did I stop doing good, start doing bad? Have I undone the good that I've done? And it's very confusing at that point. That's why God made salvation through the person of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So then we received eternal life as a gift. That moment where we trusted Christ, God gave you eternal life because of His Son. Do you know that you're saved? And He did so because you're trusting only Christ. Verse 12. We know we're saved if we have a definite event of salvation. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? It means this. That means a definite event of salvation. You have it or you don't. You ever ask somebody a simple, definite question? And they say, well, I'm not. For instance, how are you feeling? Well, I don't know. Well, what do you mean you don't know? You either feel all right or you don't. It's like asking someone, are you pregnant? I'm not sure. What do you mean? You either are or you're not. Are you in Redding, California? I think so. No, or you're either in Redding, California, or you're not in Redding, California. Listen to me. The truth of the matter is, dear people, we either have salvation or we don't. That's because there's a definite event attached to my salvation. 9 years old, American Baptist Church, Antioch, California. I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I remember that day. I don't have the day or the date, but I remember trusting Christ. You either have the Son of God or you don't. Well, I had Him and then I lost it because I didn't live right. Then the Bible says you have Him, you have Him. If you don't, you don't. It's not, you don't get born again and 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 then again and again and again. Well, I've been saved 55 times in my life. No, you got born once into this life. You were born once into God's family. You have the Son of God or you don't. It's a definite thing in life, you see. Do you know that for sure in your life? Do you know who you are? Do you know that you're a child of God? And then verse 13 is the great assurance verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That verse is telling those who have already believed that you need to trust the Bible you trusted to get saved to give you the assurance of your salvation. That's not a verse really to help lost people get saved. It's help to have saved people understand you're saved and nothing can change that. Did you do what the Bible said? Did you trust Christ as your Savior? Did you do? With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Did you do that? The Bible says then you trusted what the Bible says. To get saved, trust the Bible to know that you're saved. Quit trying to search around and find some kind of, you know, experience or thing in your life. Friend, did you trust Christ according to what the Word of God says? Then the Bible that you trusted to get saved is the Bible that's going to assure you you have salvation. Jesus knew He was God. Can I ask you a question? Not do you think you're God, but do you know who you are as a child of God? Are you sure of this? Look here, this mind up here can't be right until we know in the sight of God that we're His child. Go back to Philippians chapter 2 very quickly again, please. Jesus knew who He was. You're going to think right. You've got to know who you are in the sight of God. I know I'm a child of God. I know that I'm saved. I know it and I'm certain of it. So certain I base my never dying eternal soul upon my testimony that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Do you know that this morning? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look at Philippians 2 now very quickly and look at verse 7. But made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. You know that verse tells us that Jesus Christ, preexistent as God the Son in heaven, set aside His rights and privileges as God the Son to take upon Himself the form of a human being and be placed in the virgin womb of Mary and be born and live like a man for this purpose, to come and to die for us and pay for our sins. He made Himself of no reputation. Look here. He set aside His rights and privileges to become what we needed Him to become. Look here. You want to have the mind of Christ? You have to put others before you. That's the only way you can think right today. Look at me. You have to put others before you. That's what Jesus did. You know what's amazing? The original copy of the Bible is not some manuscript people scribbled on. The original copy of the Bible is in heaven. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." You know that book right there you hold in your hand, the original copy God gave has in heaven? And did you know Jesus knew, and according to the original copy of this book, Isaiah 55 and Psalm 22 and all the passages, including the New Testament foretelling of Christ coming to die for us on the cross, He knew all of that before He came, and He came anyway. You ever have somebody tell you, "Boy, I just wish I knew the future." Really? You'd like to know what's coming, huh? We're in September this year, almost the end of September, last Sunday in September. Could you have imagined what already has taken place in your life in the first 9 months of this year? Could you have imagined that in January? I don't say it was all bad. I'm just saying all that's happened in just the 9 months of this year, just in your life, not to mention your city and your family and our nation. Could you imagine what would have happened? Would you like to know the future? Would you like to, God, roll it back and say, "Hey, here's 2000 and what is next year? 2009, I'm still writing 1984 on my checks. 2009, could you imagine God rolling the window back and saying, "Here's what's going to happen in 2009 in your life"? No, thank you. No, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I'll take whatever God gives me for this 24 hours and get up tomorrow and try again. That's sufficient enough to me. But could you imagine knowing what Jesus knew and He came anyway? Do you know why? Because He loved you and He put you over Himself. You want the mind of Christ? You want to think right? Stop letting it be all about you and your life. We will never think right, selfish thinking. Never. Our lives will, this world today is encapsulated in a small little universe, and it's all about them. We're in an election year. We've got politicians running up and down America lying to us. So which one are you talking about, Pastor Johnson? Any of them. You know how you can tell a politician's lying? When his lips are moving. That's when it's happening. So you're very skeptical of the political process, aren't you, Pastor Johnson? Yeah, yeah. And you believe all that stuff, right? And I got a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you, for goodness sakes. The truth of the matter is, dear people, look at me. Do you understand this morning that the truth about our life is not that someone gives us what we want. The truth about our life is that you do what's best for somebody else, not you. Let this mind be in you. Jesus made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Why? Because it was what we needed. Because if it's all about you and it's just your little life, my friend, you live in such a small little circle. What a sad little world you live in today. Well, you live for other people, Pastor Johnson, they'll take advantage of you. Probably not nail you to a cross. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But he knew that, came anyway. He knew they'd strip him naked, beat him like an animal until you couldn't tell he was a human being anymore, nail him in a criminal's cross, spit upon him, jerk the beard out of his face, leap upon him from the crowd and bite him like an animal. And then stand at the foot of the cross and defy him to pull the nails out and come down. He knew all that. But he came anyway because it's what we needed. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Now look here, look here. So what this week did you do for somebody else besides you? And not to benefit yourself in doing something for them. You just did something for others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. He put others before himself. Look at verse 8 quickly. He knew the importance of obedience. I want you to see the statement now. Philippians 2:8, follow it. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death until it was inconvenient. And then he quit. Let's see now, what was the limit of Christ's obedience? Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Can I ask you a question this morning? You want to think like Jesus thinks? There should be no limit to your obedience to God. Now look here, folks, I don't mean to be unkind, but let me try. The truth of the matter is, some of us today, we're going to go home and flip a coin on whether or not we go back to church. The limit of your obedience is how late is the last football game on. And you even have TiVo or whatever it is to record it. The limit of our obedience, we've already set the limit of our obedience. I'll do what God says until, Jesus said, all the way to the cross if that's necessary, and he did. Unto the death of the cross. He had no limitations to his obedience in his life. You see, that's, ladies and gentlemen, that's thinking like Jesus thinks. Well, I'll do the Christian thing on Sundays and weekends and things like that, but then Monday through Friday, it's my life and I'm doing what I want to do. That's setting the limit of your obedience. Jesus had no limit to how obedient he was in what he did. Obedience to the death of the cross. Do you have a limit to how far you'll go to do what God tells you to do? Limit of inconvenience, limit of loss of appreciation, limit of loss of standing? Not with Jesus. Became obedient unto death, the Bible says, even the death of the cross. He knew the importance of obedience. Verse 9 to 11 is the last statement this morning. Jesus knew how to let God work in his time. I want you to see verse 9 to 11 quickly. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things of the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Can I ask you a question? Has that happened yet? That every knee would bow and every tongue would confess? Has it happened yet? No, Jesus is just part of the list right now. You know, Muhammad, and then there's Buddha, and then there's Jesus, and then there's Gandhi, and then there's Marx and Lenin, and then there's this, and then there's the Beatles, and, you know, all these people. He's just on the list of everybody right now. That name is not highly exalted yet. Listen. Every knee is not bowed yet, but it will. Oh, yes. Look at me, people. One day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and there won't be anybody else bowing to anybody else except Jesus. But that hasn't happened yet. See, Jesus, having the right mind about things, he knew to let God's time work in God's time. Nothing is as bad as it is at the moment you're in it. Nothing. I don't see how this could ever get straightened out. I will always be heartbroken. I will always be sorrowful. I will always experience loss. I will never be the same in my life. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, there is a God in heaven who has things according to a timetable, and we have to realize he has made everything perfect in his time. We need to understand that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There's some things God's working out in our lives. We have not seen the fruition of it yet. We've not seen the fullness of it yet, but he'll work everything to his will and his way, and it will come out right. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. It's just not time yet. Jesus knew that. And he was willing to accept God's time in things. How about you this morning? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hey, $700 billion bailout. Don't you love how these guys know how to spend our money? $700 billion bailout to put a Band-Aid on the cancer of the economic situation of our nation. And while they're busy blaming everybody for what's going on, nobody's fixing what caused the problem. That's the worst of the whole mess. And then when it's all over and said and done, November the 4th, we get a new voice in the White House. Are you encouraged? Are you looking at the horizon with the bright optimism of Pollyanna? That everything is going to be straightened out by people who believe there's change they can make, which they haven't been able to do while they were there? And they're mavericks when they're just another horse in the stable? Are you encouraged by this? Pastor Johnson, you're trying to depress me this morning. I'm trying to tell you there's a God in heaven who has things according to a timetable. If you think like Jesus does, you don't have to run ahead of God. You don't have to get behind God and gripe and complain. All things work together for good to them that love God. I just have to love God and live in His purpose. God puts the package together. God knows what He's doing. Some people don't know what's going on, but God always knows. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, God will make this thing turn out right. So he went to a bloody cross and he left an empty tomb and he ascended back to heaven. But the day is coming. The day is coming. And God's going to straighten this whole stinking mess out. See, look here. Even in difficult times, the child of God with the mind of Christ has the right kind of optimism. I'm not optimistic on the human plane. I'm not optimistic on the economic plane. I'm not optimistic on the temporal plane. But I am very optimistic that I have a God who's very much alive this morning, sitting on the throne of eternity, and is the God of heaven who knows what to do and how to do things. And when it's all over and said and done, God wins. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.